بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, this will be our 57th session of the course that is entitled Fath Al-Qawi Al-Mateen في شرح الأربعين وتتمة الخمسين, يعني the explanation of 50 hadith of Al-Imam An-Nawwi and Al-Imam Ibn Rajab rahimahumullah. May Allah have mercy upon both of them, with the commentary of our Shaykh Al-Allama Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr hafidhahullah. And tonight, since last week we actually finished the last hadith, hadith number 50 from that collection of hadith, tonight we're going to be going over a subject that's connected to last week's hadith, yani the importance of remembering Allah, engaging in the dhikr of Allah, constantly engaging in the dhikr of Allah. Al-Imam Ibn Rajab, who is the Imam who added 8 hadith to the 42 hadith of Al-Imam Nawawi, making it 50, Imam Ibn Rajab, in his explanation of these 50 hadith, at the end of it, he added a couple of topics. And that one of those topics is the topic that we're going to deal with tonight. Very, very important topic, which would enable us, if we follow it, to actually maybe be successful by the permission of Allah in constantly engaging ourselves in the remembrance of Allah. Before we look at that discussion for tonight, we want to go over some of the topics that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 56. The first question being, summarize the main topic or subject of hadith number 50. The main topic or the subject of hadith number 50. Anybody, summarize.
Dealing with the eagerness of being and knowing that, dealing with the eagerness of the being.
Okay, yani the questioning of the companion asking the Prophet ﷺ about this particular matter shows that they are eager and diligent in seeking knowledge of the deen. But the theme of the hadith itself, yani that's something that's derived from the hadith. What was the theme of the hadith?
I don't know the name, but the summarizing of the topic is remembering Allah.
Okay, remembering Allah, the remembrance of Allah. Yani the excellence, the virtue, the superiority of engaging in dhikr, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly, being constantly engaged in the remembrance of Allah. Tayyib, jazakallah khair. Question number 2, who is the rawi, narrator of this hadith, and the muhaddith in whose collection this hadith is found? The rawi of the hadith is, jazakallah khair. Naam, Talib. Ibn Abbas. Anybody else? Yeah?
Abdullah ibn Bashr.
Basr. Abdullah ibn Basr. Naam. Radiallahu anhu. And this hadith is collected in which collection of hadith? At-Tirmidhi. Before At-Tirmidhi.
Before Imam
Ahmad. Imam Ahmad. And At-Tirmidhi. Naam.
In this wording.
With this wording.
And Imam Majid and Imam Hanbal rated it Hasan, but with different wording.
Okay. Al-Imam Ahmad narrated the hadith with this wording. The actual alfaz of the hadith came from the Musnad Imam Ahmad. But the hadith is also narrated by Al-Imam At-Tirmidhi. It's narrated by Ibn Majah, it's narrated by Ibn Hibban and others. Okay, but with a different wording, with a different wording than the wording that we have here. Naam. And Al-Imam Ibn Hibban, he said he narrated this hadith in his Sahih, so he considered it to be Sahih. The third question, what does the author say is indicated by the many examples of the Sahaba asking questions about the deen? What does this indicate? Them constantly asking the Prophet ﷺ questions about the deen. What does this indicate to us? That they were the foremost in hastening to do good deeds. What else?
Their virtue and excellence.
Their virtue and excellence? Naam. Anything else? Okay, and their nobility? Naam. All of these things are indicated. Their diligence and eagerness in seeking that which is khair. Question number 4. What is intended by Shara'i al-Islam? The Islamic legislations? What is indicated by this expression, Shara'i al-Islam, when the questioner says they have become too many. كثرت علينا. What does he mean? كثرت علينا. What كثرت علينا? What does he mean by that? When he said إن الشرائع الإسلام كثرت علينا. What does he mean?
So many voluntary deeds.
He means nawafil, the voluntary deeds. There's so many ways to do good in Islam. They became so many, we don't know what to do with it. It's just too many. So then he asked the Prophet Yani for advice concerning this. What was the Yani? Well, first of all, this is, it didn't come as a question, but now I'm going to ask the question. What was his question when he said these deeds have become so many for us? So he said what?
Where to start?
Okay, where to start? That's kind of like some of the meaning, but anybody know exactly what he said? He said babun, fababun. نَتَمَسَّقُ بِهِ جَامِعًا. Maybe he wasn't here last week. Yusuf, was he here last week? لَبُدَّ مِنْ حِفْظِ الْحَدِيثِ لِمَنْ يَعْرَفَ الْعَرَبِيَّةِ لَبُدَّ مِنْ حِفْظِ الْحَدِيثِ يعني كلمات قليلة. لَبُدَّ أن نحفظ إن شاء الله. He said فَبَابٌ نَتَمَسَّقُ بِهِ جَامِعًا, meaning give us something that we can hold fast to, that we can occupy ourselves with, that will be comprehensive, that will cover everything. Yani one thing that we can concentrate on, busy ourselves with and be occupied with. And what the next question is, what was the Prophet ﷺ's answer, that is his advice, to the request for advice in this hadith? What did the Prophet ﷺ advise him with? What did the Prophet ﷺ advise him with? Abdul Wali.
That his tongue should stay moist with the dhikr of Allah.
That your tongue should stay moist with the dhikr of Allah. Meaning what? What does that mean, your tongue stay moist with the dhikr of Allah? What does he mean by that? What is intended, huh?
Be persistent.
Be persistent, consistent. Yani akthir min dhikrillah. Yani remember Allah a lot, frequently, constantly. All the time. Naam. And allow your tongue to be moving, meaning, yani the dhikr of Allah, obviously it starts in the heart. But it should be expressed as well on the tongue. Naam, the sixth question mentioned, yani remember the Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, Hafidhullah, he mentioned that he divided the dhikr from one angle, yani into a dhikr al-aam and a dhikr al-khas. So this question is related to that, yani division of dhikr into aam and khas, that which is general and that which is special or particular. Mention three types of remembrance that could only be considered a part of a dhikr al-aam, general remembrance, that can only be considered from a dhikr al-aam. Naam, Talib.
The salawat,
the prayers that we perform. Naam, what else?
Reading of the Quran.
Reading Quran.
Learning and teaching.
These are things that are not generally considered to be dhikr al-Allah. Somebody says, let's remember Allah. That's not what is going to first, it's not going to be the first thing that comes to somebody's mind. But these, the Shaykh said, are considered to be yani al-dhikr al-aam, yani the remembrance of Allah that is generally including everything that involves a person yani thinking about Allah, mentioning Allah, learning about Allah's deen. All of that is from the al-dhikr al-aam. The question number 7 mentioned three types of remembrance that are considered part of al-dhikr al-khas. Al-dhikr al-khas.
Praising Allah.
Saying Alhamdulillah. Yeah, what else?
Allahu Akbar,
La ilaha illallah, all of this, Astaghfirullah, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, all of these are what is considered a dhikr al-khas, yani that which is yani special or particular to remembrance when a person says a dhikr al-dua, this is what they're talking about. Yani when a person says al-adiyya wal-adhkar, this is what they're talking about. These words of praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question number 8, what is the final hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari? The final hadith which shows the greatness of the reward for this easy act of worship. The final hadith that Imam Bukhari mentions at the end of his book. Now,
when the Prophet had mentioned the deed that is light on the tongue.
Okay, he said two words, that's light on the tongue.
And heavy on the scales.
Heavy on the scales. Type, that's the general hadith. Now, the next question will make it, bring it a little bit more closer, inshallah. Mention the three descriptions of the two words mentioned in the above hadith. Three descriptions. The Prophet ﷺ said that there are two words. Okay, those two words are subhanallahi wa bihamdihi and Subhanallah al-Azim. Those are the two words. How did he describe those two words, though? He described them as two words that are what?
Love.
That are loved by Ar-Rahman. Two words that are loved by Ar-Rahman. Habibatani ila Rahmani. And the second description? Khafifatani ala lisani. That they are light on the tongue. Meaning easy. It's an easy thing. That's easy to do. It's not difficult to say Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallah al-Azim. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. La hawla wa la. That's very easy for a person to do. Doesn't cost money. Doesn't take time. Yani it's just easy. Very, very easy. Naam. The third description. Third description. Kalimatani, habibatani la rahmani, khafifatani ala lisani, thaqilatani fil mizani. Yani that these two words are heavy on the scales. The meaning of this is that these are words of praise and glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's easy for a person to pronounce on their tongue, but the reward for it will weigh heavy on a person's scales. So it is incumbent upon us, yani, to look at these things, hadith like this, and take them to heart, and then actually try to make it a part of our life that we engage in the remembrance of Allah with such words as this. The last question, mention the two fawaid or benefits which the author has derived from this hadith. Two benefits which the author has derived from this hadith. One of them is related to the Sahaba now.
The focus of the Sahaba, or the importance that the Sahaba gave to learning the deen.
The importance that the Sahaba gave to learning the deen by asking questions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani their diligence, their eagerness, their great desire to learn about Islam, so that they could do what? And he act upon it to get near to Allah, to earn his reward, to earn his pleasure. The second benefit that the Shaykh mentions,
the excellence and remembering of Allah must be persistent.
Naam, the excellence of the remembrance of Allah, the excellence of this act of remembering Allah and being consistent in it. Yani doing it frequently, as much as possible, constantly. There was a third benefit, if anybody remembers, the Sheikh's son mentioned in his explanation. He said what?
That remembering Allah, it helps a person to be able to worship Allah more. It nourishes the heart.
Naam. Yani that the remembrance of Allah, a person constantly being engaged in real remembrance of Allah, not just saying words on the tongue, but actually reflecting on it in their heart, believing in what they're saying, that this is from the greatest affairs that helps a person to be consistent in doing the acts of worship, the acts of obedience, and the things that Allah has required of us. This is the thing that helps. The remembrance of Allah strengthens the soul, strengthens the body, and enables a person to do those things that Allah has, yani, legislated for us. I just want to mention two things from last week's hadith, and then we're going to go into the topic for tonight. Last week's hadith, number 50, in that hadith, which we have just been talking about in the questionnaire, the companion of the Prophet, Abdullah ibn Busr, he said to the Prophet ﷺ that the shara'i al-Islam, the legislated things in Islam, have become many for us, so give us something that we can hold fast to, that we can occupy ourselves with, that will be comprehensive. And the Prophet ﷺ said to him, yani, the thing is that he's asking for something that we can focus on, that we can occupy ourselves with, that we can be busy with, and it will suffice us because it will be comprehensive. It will bring all kinds of good to us. And the Prophet ﷺ told him what? لَا يَزَالُ لِسَانُكَ رَطْبًا مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. He told him that let your tongue be constantly, yani, engaged, occupied with the remembrance of Allah. The question and its answer makes us to understand fully the importance of remembrance of Allah. But not just remembrance of Allah, but the Prophet ﷺ is saying, لَا يَزَالُ لِسَانُكَ رَطْبًا مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Meaning that you should be constantly engaged in this. And the discussion tonight that we want to talk about, yani, is how can a person be constantly engaged in the remembrance of Allah. The other narration of this hadith from Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he said that the last thing when I left the Prophet ﷺ was that I asked him, أَيُّ الْأَعْمَالِ خَيْرٌ وَأَقْرَبْ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Which deed is khair, the best thing, and the thing that will be nearest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he told him, أَنْتَ مُوتَ وَلِسَانُكَ رَطْبٌ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. And that you die with your tongue being, yani, moist with the remembrance of Allah, meaning constantly engaged in the remembrance of Allah. And this shows that the Prophet ﷺ is telling him that this is something that you need to do all the time, so that at any point that you die, you're going to be engaged in remembrance of Allah. It means that a person has to always be engaged in the remembrance of Allah. And his question as well, he said, which deed would be best of all deeds? And which deed would be nearest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised him with this. And that again shows the importance of this topic, where Al-Imam Ibn Rajab rahimahullah gives us an outline or roadmap to the most important things that Allah has legislated to enable a person to be constantly engaged in remembrance of Allah. If a person wants to be constantly engaged in remembrance of Allah, they need to know, so what are the things that Allah has legislated that will enable me to do that? So Ibn Rajab, Al-Imam Ibn Rajab rahimahullah, a scholar of Islam, a scholar of Hadith, he has collected in these few words that we're going to discuss tonight, yani the roadmap, the essential, most important things that Allah has legislated, whether they are obligatory or voluntary, that will enable us to be constantly engaged in the remembrance of Allah, and it is just upon us to follow it, to act upon it. Before I read Ibn Rajab's comments, I'm going to just make some introductory remarks. From Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah in his book Al-Wasiyah al-Sughra, which was recently studied. Some of you may have been here, I don't know. Some of you may not have been. Sheikh Tahir explained this book recently, a few months ago during this year. And we have also studied this book previously. Some of you may have studied it when we taught it some years ago, about 5 or 6 years ago at Masjid Ikhwa in New York. Sheikh al-Islam Taymiyyah in this book talks about the dhikr, because one of the questions that he was asked in that book that is known as Al-Wasiyah Sughra was the question of Afdal Al-Amal Ba'd Al-Faraj. What is the best of deeds that a person can do after the obligatory duties? If a person has done those things that are obligatory, what's the best thing that a person can engage in? And the answer that he gave was the dhikr of Allah. The answer that he gave was the dhikr of Allah. The reason why I want to mention what he said though is because he mentions three descriptions for a dhikr that I think we have to keep in mind as we go through the discussion tonight. And one of them is al-adhkar al-mu'akkata, and the second one is al-adhkar al-muqayyada, and the third one is al-adhkar al-mutlaqa. So Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah in his answer concerning this, the most important of deeds that a person can do after the obligatory deeds, he said that he mentions dhikr in three categories. The dhikr that is mu'akkata, it has a fixed time, a waqt, that it should be done. He mentions adhkar al-muqayyada, adhkar that are tied to certain activities, certain occasions, like eating and drinking and getting dressed and going out and leaving and returning to your home, things like this. And then he mentions al-adhkar al-mutlaqa, and that is those words of remembrance that are not tied to anything, that are not specific to any time, that a person remembers Allah at any time, on any occasion. And the reason why I want to mention that is because in our discussion tonight, we're going to see that Al-Imam Ibn Rajab also mentions in his discussion some of those, the most important of those, adhkar that are specified to a particular time. And many of those that are specific to certain actions and things that we do in our everyday life. And it's important that we remember that the remembrance of Allah has different facets or different aspects, and we need to be engaged in all of them. There are six main areas that Al-Imam Ibn Rajab mentions in this discussion tonight. Three of them are related to salat, prayer. That is from what we mentioned last week, al-adhkar al-ama, general remembrances, not limited to subhanallah, alhamdulillah, allahu akbar, things that are also considered adhkar, acts of worship. So as salat is from those things. The second thing, the other three things that he talks about, three of them are related to prayers, different types of prayers, and three of them are related to dhikr, different types of dhikr. Dhikr that's related to specific times, dhikr that's related to particular actions, and then he also mentions the adhkar mutlaqa. So having this in mind, there are six things. If we can remember six things when we leave here tonight, three types of prayer and three types of dhikr, These are the main and most important things that Ibn Rajab mentions here in our discussion tonight. And then he mentions some other things as well, but if we can remember these six categories, then it will help us to focus on these very important areas. So he begins after the explanation of the last hadith, the 50th hadith. It says, فَصْلٌ فِي وَظَائِفَ الذِّكْرَ الْمُوَظَّفَ فِي الْيَوْمِ وَالْلَيْلَةِ. Yani, this is a chapter that's related to the daily duties or things, the remembrance of Allah that a person should be occupied with. The words of remembrance that a person should be occupied with daily, in the day and in the night. And he says, معلوم أن الله فرض على المسلمين أن يذكروه كل يوم وليلة خمس مرات بإقامة الصلوات الخمسة في مواقيتها المؤقتة. So this is the first of those six matters. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well known, that Allah has made obligatory upon the Muslims to remember Him every day and night, five times a day, by the establishment of the five obligatory congregational prayers in their fixed times. That those prayers have fixed times, and they are to be performed in their fixed times. And not when I feel like it, when I have some extra time, when I'm finished doing what's important to me, but they have fixed times. Establishing the five daily prayers in their fixed times. This is the first thing that Allah made obligatory upon the Muslims in order to remember Him, in order to be engaged in His remembrance. The Shaykh says, so it has been legislated. فَهِ legislated. شَرَعَ لَهُمْ مَا هَذِي الْفَرَائِدِ الْخَمْسَ الْخَمْسَ أَنْ يَذْكُرُوهُ ذِكْرًا يَكُونُ لَهُمْ نَافِلًا. And He has also legislated, along with these five obligatory prayers, He has legislated that the Muslims remember Him with a dhikr that will be nafila. Yani, the five prayers are obligatory. He also has legislated something that's not obligatory. It's extra, voluntary dhikr. And this nafila is ziyada. Yani, it's something extra. It's above and beyond what's obligatory. فَيَكُولُ ذَلِكَ زِيَادَةً عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ الْخَمْسِ وَهِيَ نَوْعَانِ. So this other legislation that Allah has, yani, legislated to go along with the five obligatory prayers, is something that's voluntary, it's extra, above and beyond the five obligatory prayers, and they are of two types. And yani, this nafila deed, it is of two types. إِحْدَاهُمَا, one of them is, مَا هُوَ مِنْ جِنْسِ الصَّلَاةِ. Yani, something that's of the same category as salat, but it's not an obligatory salat. Yani, it's also a type of prayer, but it's not an obligatory prayer. It's nafila. فَشَرَعَ لَهُمْ أَنْ يُصَلُّوا مَا صَلَوَاتِ الْخَمْسَ قَبْلَهَا أَوْ بَعْدَهَا أَوْ قَبْلَهَا وَبَعْدَهَا سُنَنًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated for the Muslims to pray, to perform prayers along with the five obligatory prayers. Yani, either before the five obligatory prayers, like yani the sunnah prayers that are performed what? At the time of Fajr. Or after the obligatory prayers, like the sunnah prayers that are performed after Maghrib and Isha. Or qablaha wa ba'daha. Or there are sunnah prayers, like for the sunnah prayers of Dhuhr, that are performed before and after. So there are three categories here. There are prayers that are attached to the five obligatory prayers that are performed before it. There are those that are performed after it. And there is yani, one case in which there's voluntary prayers performed before and after, and that is in the case of Salatul Dhuhr. These are sunan, yani prayers that are from the sunnah, that are not obligatory, but these are the extra things that help a person to be constantly engaged in the remembrance of Allah. So these, he said, will be extra, above and beyond the obligatory, and it is such that if the obligatory prayer contained a naqs, yani a defect in it, the person didn't perform it perfectly well, then these extra prayers will fix it, will mend it. They will fix the defect in it, yani, by the performance of these voluntary prayers. So the first benefit of them is that if a person doesn't perform their obligatory prayer, that they're going to be called to account for because it's an obligation, but they didn't fulfill it completely, then these prayers will help to mend that defect in it, or that shortcoming in it. And if there was no defect in it, then these nawafil will be yani an extra source of reward and benefit, yani for the person in front of Allah above and beyond, yani the obligatory. The first thing that he has legislated are the five obligatory prayers. The second thing that he has legislated is something that is voluntary, that's from the same class or the same category. It is a type of prayer, but it's not obligatory, and that is those prayers, the rawatib, that are attached to the five obligatory prayers, either before them or after them or before and after. The third thing that Allah has legislated, Al-Imam Ibn Rajab mentions, rahimahullah, وَأَطْوَلُ مَا يَتَخَلَّلُ بَيْنَ الْمَوَاقِتِ الصَّلَاةِ بَيْنَ مَوَاقِتِ الصَّلَاةِ مِمَّا لَيْسَ فِي صَلَاةٍ مَفْرُوضَةٍ مَا بَيْنَ صَلَاةِ الْإِشَاءِ وَصَلَاةِ الْفَجْرِ وَمَا بَيْنَ صَلَاةِ الْفَجْرِ وَصَلَاةِ الظُّهُرِ. And in the longest time in which there is a space, an empty space, in which there is no obligatory prayer being performed, is that which is between the time of Isha and Fajr. And how long is the time between Isha and Fajr? Right now it's like almost, how many? 6 hours. He said, and that which is between Salatul Fajr and Salatul Dhuhr. And the time between Salatul Fajr and Salatul Dhuhr is how many hours? A long time. Like almost 6 hours. So he said, these are the longest times in which there's a space between the times of the prayer. Yani a long space of time in which there's no obligatory prayer legislated. Yani between Isha and Fajr, and between Fajr and Dhuhr. For that reason, he said, Allah has legislated that between each one of these two times, between each one of these two salats, yani between Salatul Isha and Salatul Fajr, and between Salatul Fajr and Salatul Dhuhr, he has legislated a prayer that is nafila. Yani this is the second type of yani act that Allah has legislated to go along with the five obligatory prayers, that is voluntary, that's extra and above and beyond. And this, he says, salatun takunu nafilatan li alla yatula waqt al-ghafla an al-dhikr. And this is so that the time would not be so long in which a person might what? Not be in the remembrance of Allah, might be yani neglectful of remembrance of Allah, might be in ghafla, yani unmindful, inattentive, not really focusing on Allah. So that time would not be so long, Allah has legislated that in these two long periods of time, He has legislated, yani, a voluntary, nafila. He said He has legislated between Salatul Isha and Salatul Fajr, a prayer, and that prayer is Al-Witr. And He has also legislated at that time another prayer, and that is Qiyamul Layl. Walaykum As-Salaam. And He has legislated between Salatul Fajr and Salatul Dhuhr, Salatul Duha. And these three prayers, Salatul Witr, Qiyamul Layl, and Salatul Duha, are voluntary prayers. They are also voluntary prayers that Allah has legislated to what? To help a person to be constantly engaged in remembrance of Allah. And there are at times in which there's a long period of time between the obligatory prayers in which a person might fall into yani neglect and become unmindful of Allah. So these prayers have been legislated, yani to reduce that amount of time and to help a person to be engaged in the remembrance of Allah. So these are three things. And all of them are what? Salat. The five obligatory prayers, the voluntary prayers that are before and after them, and an extra voluntary prayer in those times, which are the longest amount of times in between obligatory prayers where there's no yani prayer legislated. So Allah has legislated here the prayers in the night, Salatul Witr and Qiyam, and the prayer in the morning, Salatul Duha. And the time for Salatul Duha is after sunrise. Yani not immediately after sunrise, but say 15 minutes after sunrise when the sun has risen a little bit. A person from that time until the same amount of time before the sun reaches its height in the sky, the Zawal. Yani 15 minutes before the sun reaches, yani midway, yani directly above in the sky. That time, from after sunrise up until just before the time for Dhuhr, is the time of Salatul Duha. And even though the Shaykh doesn't go into any detail here, and we can't go into detail, because when I looked at this yani discussion here, I realized that if we go into the details of everything he mentioned here, this is going to be another course that's going to take 6 weeks. So we're going to suffice today by just mentioning what he mentioned, and maybe in the future Allah yani will yani decree for somebody to explain this in more detail, then we can explain it in tonight. But in any case, Salatul Duha should be at least 2 rak'ah, and the Prophet has prayed it up to 8 rak'ah, and some scholars said there's no limit on it. There's no limit on it. Then the Shaykh, he says, وَبَعْدُ هَذِهِ الصَّلَوَاتِ أَكِدْ مِنْ بَعْدِ. Yani some of these prayers, yani the Salatul Witr, Qiyam al-Layl, Salatul Duha, some of them are more yani affirmed or more yani important than others. And he says, so the most important of them is the Witr prayer. And for that reason, because of its great importance, the scholars have differed, some of them saying that it's wajib, that Salatul Witr is wajib. The scholars differed about it. Because of its great importance, some scholars actually hold the opinion that Salatul Witr is wajib. After that, the next in importance is Qiyam al-Layl. Wa kana Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yudawim alayhi hadran wa safaran. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to constantly perform the prayer in the night, the Qiyam al-Layl, even when he was resident or he was traveling. He used to constantly perform this prayer. He didn't give it up. Thumma Salatul Duha. And next in importance of these three prayers is Salatul Duha. And he said, قَدْ اِخْتَلَفَ النَّاسِ فِيهَا وَفِي اِسْتِحْبَابَ الْمُدَاوَلْ عَلَيْهَا وَفِي تَرْغِيبِ فِيهَا الْحَدِيثِ الصَّحِيحَ. So the Shaykh is saying here that this prayer is the third in importance of these three. Yani prayers that Allah has legislated in the times in which there's a long gap between the obligatory prayers. In order to fill in that time with remembrance of Allah, he said the most important of them is Witr, and then Qiyam al-Layl, which the Prophet never used to give up, and then, he said, Salatul Duha. He said some of the scholars differed concerning it, whether or not it is mustahab or not. Yani some scholars differed as to whether or not it's even mustahab, that a person constantly do it all the time, yani every day. There's difference of opinion about it, but the authentic hadith concerning it being a praiseworthy prayer is yani well known. And there's no doubt about that it's a commendable deed. The difference of opinion about it is whether or not it's mustahab to do it all the time, like every single day. Then the Shaykh says, and this is a point that requires a lesson, yani a dars by itself, one yani hour. He said, ورد الترغيب أيضا في الصلاة عقيب زوال الشمس. That there has also been narrated, yani evidence that encourages a person also to perform the salat that is performed immediately after the zawal al-shams. And immediately after the sun reaches the zenith, he said that there's proof supporting the idea that this is something, that this is a prayer that's encouraged to be prayed, that is encouraged to pray. And there's some hadith concerning this, how the scholars differ about whether or not this, the hadith concerning this prayer, whether or not it is a separate, independent, distinct prayer, or are those hadith really talking about the four rak'ah of dhuhr. The majority of the scholars say those hadith that are being referred to here as Salatul Zawal, Zawal al-Shams, yani are really in reference to the four rak'ah of Salatul Dhuhr. The majority of scholars. Minority of scholars, including Al-Imam al-Shafi'i and Ibn al-Qayyim, supports this idea that this is actually a separate prayer that is praiseworthy and commendable, that a person should perform immediately after the sun begins to decline. And again, like we don't have time to go into any detail about this, but yani there is a prayer. Scholars differ about whether or not this is a separate prayer or is it really the four rak'ah of dhuhr. The fourth and fifth and sixth things, that the main areas that Allah has legislated for a person to be constantly engaged in remembrance of Allah, after these three, which are all prayers, the obligatory prayers, the rawatib prayers that's connected to them, and these prayers in the times of long distance between obligatory prayers, that is Salatul Witr, Qiyam al-Layl, and al-Duha. Besides these three things, Al-Imam Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, mentions three other things. All of them are different than the prayers. They are different types of dhikr. Yani the dhikr khas. The dhikr that is not yani just open to everything. The dhikr that means yani a person is reciting some words of praise or glorification of Allah. And some of these things that he mentions here are from those things that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah called al-adhkar al-mu'akkata, that specifically has specific times. And Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned five things when he said that those prayers that have specific times. He said the prayer that's in the morning, yani from the adhkar, I mean not the prayer, the adhkar of sabah and masa, yani that are done in the morning after fajr until sunrise, in the evening after asr until maghrib. And he said the dhikr, the adhkar that's done at the time of going to sleep, and the adhkar that's done at the time of awakening. And he mentioned one other, five things, and maybe it will come to my mind later. Some of that will be mentioned here in what we're going to discuss now. But in any case, the point is that the fourth point of the things that Allah has legislated to help a person to be constantly engaged in the remembrance of Allah, he said, "Amma al-dhikr bil-lisan." Yani here he's distinguishing the dhikr that's am, including those prayers, obligatory and voluntary prayers. He's making a distinction here now that he's talking about a dhikr bil-lisan, yani the words of praise and glorification of Allah. He said, "Famashru'un fi jamil al-awqat," that this is legislated all the time, in every time. Yani a person should be engaged in, yani saying praise and glorification of Allah. وَيَتَأَكَّدُ فِي بَعْدِهَا. But there are some times in which it's more important and more confirmed, yani that a person should be engaged in this dhikr bil-lisan. So from those that are more important and more confirmed, he said, is al-dhikr aqib al-salawat al-mafrudat. Yani from amongst those special times that are more confirmed for dhikr bil-lisan is the dhikr that's immediately following the obligatory prayers. Yani so there's some adhkar that a person says at the time of the five obligatory prayers. When you finish the prayer, you'll say, for example, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, Wa La Ilaha Illallah. Yani in some of the hadith mentioned, 33 and 34, and some of them said 33 and 33 and 33 and one time saying La Ilaha Illallah, Wahdahu La Sharika La. In any case, this is the fourth matter that Allah has legislated, and that is that a person engage with a dhikr bil-lisan at the completion of the five obligatory prayers. He says that yani, dhikr bil-lisan is legislated at all times, but there are some times when it is more important, and that the Prophet ﷺ yani, showed more importance to it. And that, and the first of them is the dhikr of Allah at the, immediately following the five, the obligatory prayers. And here he says that a person should remember Allah after each one of these prayers 100 times, including at-tasbih, saying Subhanallah, at-tahmid, saying Alhamdulillah, at-takbir, saying Allahu Akbar, and at-tahleel, saying La ilaha illallah. After each one of these prayers, a person should say these words, adding up to 100. And the details of it, yani, are probably well known to all of us anyway. The hadith concerning them are really important, but yani, for another time. The fifth of these things that Allah has legislated in order to help a person to be engaged constantly in the remembrance of Allah is what is commonly referred to as Adhkar al-Sabah wal-Masa. Yani the dhikr that is done in the remembrance of Allah is done in the morning, and the remembrance of Allah that's done in the evening. And the Prophet ﷺ mentions in a hadith, I think it's reported by Abu Dawood, that it is more beloved to him to sit with the people remembering Allah, yani after the Fajr prayer, until sunrise. It is more beloved to him to do that than to get the reward of freeing four slaves from the children of Ismail alayhi salam. Yani this remembrance, he said, would be more beloved to him than freeing four slaves from the children of Ismail alayhi salam. And he said in the hadith, and it is more beloved to him that I sit with the people remembering Allah after the Asr prayer until Maghrib than to free four slaves from the children of Ismail. This hadith alone is sufficient for a person to know the importance of the dhikr after the Fajr prayer and the dhikr after the Asr prayer. And what kind of care and attention would a person give to something that would be greater in reward than freeing four slaves from the children of Ismail alayhi salam? Prophet said, this dhikr would be more beloved to me than that. So now what do we do with that? Do we say, mashallah, that's nice, and we keep on doing what we've been doing? Or do we actually take hold of this and try to implement it in our lives? Even if a person sits after the Fajr prayer, not until sunrise, but sits for 10 minutes or 15 minutes or whatever they're able to do. Even if they have to go to work, but they have 10 or 15 minutes, they sit and remember Allah. Allah knows their condition, and Allah is able to multiply their reward as much as He wills. But to abandon it completely, as we do often, I don't mean we here, but Muslims do, And when the prayer is over, people run out of the masjid. And the people who come to the masjid to pray are the best of the people, because the other people don't even come to the masjid to pray. And the other Muslims don't even pray, if we can call them Muslims. But we run out of the masjid at a time when the Prophet ﷺ said, it would be more beloved to him to sit remembering Allah than to free four slaves from the children of Ismail. So the Shaykh, he says here, it is mustahab, it is beloved, it's commendable, it's praiseworthy. Also, in reference to this point, it's praiseworthy to remember, to engage in the dhikr of Allah bil lisan, ba'da as-salatayn, al-latayni, la tatawwa ba'dahuma, wa huma al-fajr wal-asr. Yani that it is also commendable, praiseworthy, beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to remember Allah after the two prayers, after which there's no voluntary prayer. What are the two prayers after which there's no voluntary prayer? Fajr and Asr. And even though, yani, there's another discussion about the Asr prayer, we're not going to deal with that right now, but there's no doubt that the Prophet ﷺ, on an occasion, when he was occupied from performing the sunnahs after Dhuhr, he prayed them after Asr. And Aisha radiallahu anha, in the hadith is narrated by Al-Bukhari, says that he never abandoned those two rak'ah after Asr until he died. And other companions from the Prophet ﷺ, is authentically narrated that they also performed this prayer after his death. So it's not something particular to the Prophet ﷺ, and it is legislated. In any case, in general, in the general sense, these are the two times in which there is no yani rawatib, sunnah, that's legislated after the Fajr and after the Asr. And here the Shaykh is saying, so these two times, and to make up for the absence of those voluntary prayers that are performed after the obligatory prayer, Allah has legislated a special yani type of yani worship, that is the dhikr of Allah, yani known to us as the adhkar of as-sabah and adhkar al-masah, the remembrance of Allah in the morning and in the evening after the Fajr prayer until sunrise, if a person is able, and after Asr prayer until Maghrib, if a person is able. And there's also yani a prayer that a person can perform if they sat in the masjid after the Fajr until sunrise, and that is what we mentioned earlier, Salatul Duha, that a person can pray it yani after the sun has risen a little. And there's an authentic hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said, the person that prays the Fajr prayer in Jama'ah and then sits remembering Allah until sunrise and prays two rak'ah, and some of the narrations said four rak'ah, they would have the reward of Hajj and Umrah, tamatan, tamatan, tamatan. And of course, it doesn't mean that if a person didn't make Hajj that they are free of the obligation, but it means that the reward is that, is great like that, similar to the reward of Hajj and Umrah. So the Shaykh said, it's legislated to remember Allah after the Salatul Fajr until the sun has risen, and after the Salatul Asr until the sun has set. وَهَذَانِ الْوَقْتَانِ أَعْنِي وَقْتَ الْفَجْرِ وَقْتَ الْعَصْرِ هُمَا أَفْضَلْ أَوْقَاتَ النَّهَارِ لِلذِّكْرِ. And these two times, meaning after the time of Fajr and the time of Asr, these two times are the best and the most superior of the times of the day, of all the time of the day for the remembrance of Allah. These are the best two times of the day for the remembrance of Allah. And it is for this reason, وَلِهَذَا أَمَرُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِذِكْرِهِ فِيهِمَا فِي مَوَادٍ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. And it is for this reason that Allah the Most High has commanded the Muslims to be engaged in His remembrance in these two times. And this is mentioned in many places in the Quran. Al-Imam Ibn Rajab rahimahullah mentions 9 places in the Quran. And of course, for the sake of time, we don't have to read all of them, but any, we'll at least give the references for them. The first of them, he says, is from Surah Al-Ahzab, the 33rd Surah, 42nd ayat, with the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا آمَنُوا اُذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا وَصَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَعَصِيلًا. Yani, O you who believe, remember Allah with much remembrance and praise and glorify Him in the morning and in the evening. And then the Shaykh mentions 8 other places in the Quran where similar wording came. Yani the second of them is in Surah Al-Insan, 76 Surah, 25th Ayat. The third of them is Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 41st Ayat. The fourth of them is Surah Maryam, 19th Surah, 11th Ayat. The fifth of them is Surah Rum, 30th surah, 17th ayat. The sixth of them is Surah Ghafir, 40th surah, 55th ayat. The seventh of them is Surah Al-A'raf, 7th surah, 205th ayat. The eighth of them is Surah Taha, 20th surah, 130th ayat. And the ninth, the last of them, is Surah Qaf, 50th surah, 39th ayat. And all of these ayat, yani mention the remembrance of Allah in the day and in the night, in the morning and in the evening. After this, the Shaykh says, and here, yani we're on the fifth point, yani of the things that Allah has legislated, that is the dhikr bil lisan, after the two prayers, yani the Fajr prayer and the Asr prayer. And the importance of these two times, the Shaykh says, these are the best times of the day for remembrance of Allah. The time of Fajr and the time of Asr. And then he mentions these ayats as a proof that Allah has commanded us to praise and glorify Him in these two times, in the morning and in the evening. And the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ makes it clear that it means morning after the Fajr prayer. And evening means not after Maghrib, after Asr. After Asr. That's how the Prophet ﷺ explained it. So he said the best thing that a person can do in these two times of dhikr, the best dhikr that a person can perform in these two best times of the day, are the two prayers, the Fajr prayer and the Asr prayer. That's the best dhikr that a person can perform in these best two times. The Salat al-Fajr and the Salat al-Asr. And these, he said, wahuma, these two prayers, the Fajr prayer and the Asr prayer, afdalu salawat, they are the best of all the prayers. The Salat al-Fajr and Salat al-Asr. وَقَدْ قِيلَ فِي كُلٍ مِّنْهُمَا إِنَّهَا السَّلَاتُ الْوُسْطَى. And it has said, it has been said, concerning each one of them, some of the scholars said that the Fajr prayer is Salat al-Wusta. And some of the scholars said that the Asr prayer is Salat al-Wusta, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran commanded us to hafidh, yani to protect, to preserve, to guard, to make sure that a person gives special attention to this prayer, more so than the other obligatory prayers. Salat al-Wusta. And many of the scholars said it's Salat al-Fajr, some of them said it's Salat al-Asr. The Shaykh says these are the best two of the prayers, Salat al-Fajr and Salat al-Asr. Some scholars said about each of them that it's Salat al-Wusta. And he said, وَهُمَا الْبَرْدَانِ الَّذَانِ مَنْ حَافَظَ عَلَيْهِمَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. And it's also, these two prayers are known as al-Bardan, yani the two cool times for prayer. That is in the Fajr before it gets hot, and in the Asr when the day cools down. And it is said concerning these two prayers, Fajr and Asr, whoever guard and protect these two prayers, yani performs them on time and properly and whatever is due to them, that person will enter the Jannah. And all of this is in reference to what? It's in reference to these two times that Allah has legislated, Adhkar. Adhkar al-Sabah and Adhkar al-Masa. And the Shaykh added to that discussion that these are the best two times, and these prayers are the best two prayers, and that they are, yani mentioned in the Sunnah with these kinds of descriptions. Then the Shaykh goes on to say, وَيَلِيهِمَا مِنْ أَوْقَاتِ الذِّكْرِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. And what follows these two times, the time of Fajr and Asr, in importance and significance and virtue and excellence, what follows them is generally the time, the dhikr that is performed in the night and dhikr performed in the day other than these two times. And what is next in importance is the dhikr of the night and then the dhikr of the day other than these two times. وَلِهَذَا يُذْكُرْ بَعْدَ هَذَيْنِ الْوَقْتَيْنِ فِي الْقُرْآنِ تَصْبِيحِ اللَّيْلِ وَصَلَاتُهُ. It is for this reason that after these two times, yani the time of Fajr and Asr, after these two times in the Quran, in some ayats in the Quran, there's the mention of the tasbih, of the layl and its prayer. Meaning that the tasbih of the night is second in importance after the remembrance of Allah at the time of Fajr and the time of Asr. And one of the ayats in which this is mentioned is in Surah Taha. Yani 20th surah, 130th ayat, and also in Surah Qaf, 50th surah, 39th ayat. The next point that the Shaykh makes Before we go to, we have five things now, right? Five main areas. The obligatory, five obligatory prayers, the rawatib prayers that are connected before and after them, and what else? The extra prayers that are performed in those times, yani salatu, the night, yani after the long time between Isha and Fajr, the long time between Fajr and Asr, that is salatu witr, qiyamul layl, and salatu duha. Those are three. The fourth is the dhikr that's immediately following the obligatory prayers. And the fifth is the dhikr of morning and evening that we just got finished talking about. And we still have a six point that remains. And that is what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah refers to as the adhkar al-muqayyada. Yani that's particularly fixed to certain occasions or certain actions, like when you're getting up and when you're going to, when you're going out the house and returning in the house, and going in the bathroom and coming out of the bathroom, when you're getting dressed, eating, drinking, and so on. These kinds of things. And that's the last thing that the Shaykh is going to mention. That 6 point, just to kind of keep it in focus. But before that 6 point, the Shaykh brings some other benefits here. And also very, very important. So the Shaykh says here, وَذِكْرَ al-mutlaq. This expression, al-dhikr al-mutlaq, is the opposite of muqayyid. Al-mutlaq, opposite of muqayyid. It's any similar to the use of the expression that we mentioned last week from Shaykh Abdul Mahsin, al-dhikr, al-aam, and al-khas. It's similar in that, yani they're contrasted. The aam is general, inclusive, including anything that remembers Allah, and khas is special, particular to the dhikr of the lisan. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Here we have, yani Ibn Rajab, al-Imam Ibn Rajab, using the expression al-mutlaq. Yani contrasting it with al-muqayyid, which he's going to come at the end with. Mutlaq means the dhikr of Allah, and it includes everything that may be considered as remembrance of Allah. And last week we used the expression al-dhikr al-am for that, for this area of dhikr. Okay, but here he's contrasting al-mutlaq with muqayyid. And whoever has studied usul al-fiqh, then they know there's a difference between mutlaq al-muqayyid and am al-khas. They're not the same. Okay, but in any case here, he's saying al-dhikr al-mutlaq, the unrestricted dhikr. It's not restricted to any method or manner, speech, action, time, place, occasion. It's unrestricted, mutlaq. He said, يَدْخُلُ فِيهِ الصَّلَاةِ. Prayers is included in that dhikr, dhikr al-mutlaq. وَيَدْخُلُ فِيهِ تِلَاوَةُ الْقُرْآنِ, recitation of the Qur'an. وَتَعَلُّمُهُ وَتَعْلِيمُهُ وَالْعِلْمَ النَّافِيَ. Also, yani learning and teaching and beneficial knowledge. All of this, he's saying, is included in yani al-dhikr al-mutlaq, or as we mentioned last week, al-dhikr al-am. Yani that's not the specific limited dhikr that is on the tongue. Likewise, included in al-dhikr al-mutlaq is that dhikr that yani is we mentioned last week, al-dhikr al-khas. That is al-tasbih, al-takbir, al-tahleel. So dhikr al-mutlaq, he's saying, includes salat, includes recitation of Quran, learning, teaching. And it also includes saying subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. All of that is included in al-dhikr al-mutlaq. Then the Shaykh on this side point, he mentions some things that are a little bit like sidetrack. So, and he don't like go too far with it, right? He says, وَمِنْ أَصْحَابِنَا مَنْ رَجَّحَ التِّلَاوَ عَلَى التَّصْبِيحِ وَنَحْوِهِ بَعْدَ الْفَجْرِ الْعَصْرِ. He said, some of our companions, meaning from our madhab, they have considered yani that of greater importance is the tilawa of the Quran over tasbih at these times, yani at the time of Fajr and Asr. After Fajr and Asr, he said some of our companions, some of the scholars held the view that reciting the Quran is more important than saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, and whatever yani a person says in the adhkar al-sabah or adhkar al-masah. Some of our companions held this view. Then he says, وَسُئِلَ الْأَوْزَاعِي. Al-Imam al-Awza'i, rahimahullah, he was asked about this. Yani, what is better to do? Recite the Quran or say tasbih, takbir, tahleel? Yani, what is better to do? And Al-Imam al-Awza'i, he says, rahimahullah, كَانَ حَجْيُهُمْ ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ فَإِنْ قَرَأَ فَحَسَنٌ. This is a beneficial point here that the Shaykh is mentioning, that Al-Imam ibn Rajab is mentioning. That Al-Imam Al-Awza'i, one of the greatest scholars of the people of Sunnah, one of the leading, foremost, eminent scholars of the people of Sunnah, Al-Imam Al-Awza'i says, when he was asked which one is better, recitation of the Quran or saying these words of dhikr on the tongue, he said, كَانَ حَجْيُهُمْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Yani their hadi, their way, their guidance was to do the dhikr on the tongue. He means by them, their guidance mean the people before us, meaning the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, the people of the first generation. What they used to do, yani they used to prefer the dhikr of Allah over the tilawatul Qur'an at this particular time. Even though the tilawatul Qur'an in general is the best remembrance of Allah. But at certain times or occasions, something else could be preferable. Because that's what the Prophet ﷺ established in the sunnah. He said their hadith was the remembrance of Allah. However, if a person recited the Qur'an at this time, hasanan, this is also good. It's not like you can't do it. But he's saying what the companions, what they used to do. What was their way? وَظَاهِرْ هَذَا أَنَّ الذِّكْرَ فِي هَذَا الْوَقْتْ أَفْضَلْ مِنَ التِّلَاوَةِ. So what is apparent here is that the dhikr on the, yani the tasbih and takbir and tahleel, that this is preferable to the tilawah at this particular time. Second issue related to this, وَكَذَا قَالَ إِسْحَاقْ فِي التَّصْبِيحِ أَقِيبَ الْمَكْتُوبَاتِ مِئَةَ مَرَّةِ إِنَّهُ أَفْضَلْ مِنْ تِلَاوَةِ حِينَئِذٍ. And likewise, Imam Ishaq, Rahway, Rahimahullah, also from the great scholars of the people of Hadith, he said that the tasbih, saying Subhanallah or Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, immediately after the obligatory prayers 100 times, that this is preferable to reciting Quran at that particular time. That is preferable to say the tasbih and takbir, yani tahmid, tahleel, and so on. Then the Shaykh says, and he closes this point with it, he says, wal adhkar wal adaiya al ma'thura an nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi as-sabah wal masa kathir jiddan. That the words of remembrance and the supplications that are, yani, that have reached us, that have been conveyed to us, that are narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the morning and evening are so many, kathiran jiddan. Meaning that if a person sits in the masjid after the Fajr prayer, after the Asr prayer to remember Allah, there's plenty of adhkar that have been narrated from the Prophet authentically that a person can recite, that they might not even finish until yani sunrise. They wouldn't have finished them. And by the way, this is one of the books of adhkar, Hisn al-Muslim, Min Adhkar al-Kitab wa Sunnah, that is the famous book. When I was in Medina 30 years ago, this was the book that we used to carry in our pocket all the time. Yani no student would go without this book. This is a book that a person needs to have. It's called The Fortress of the Muslim in English. A Muslim needs this book, or something like this, to be engaged in remembrance of Allah all the time, and to know what a person should say on every occasion. And some of those occasions we're going to mention in the end of this discussion. So the next point the Shaykh makes is engaging in the remembrance of Allah between the Maghrib and Isha prayer. And he's staying in the masjid to engage in the remembrance of Allah between the Maghrib and Isha prayer. It's something that we need to take on some of this. And we need to take on some of this. He said it is mustahab to give life to the time between Al-Isha'in Bis-Salat wa Dhikr. Yani that a person should be engaged in worship in the time between the two Isha's. The two Isha's mean the Maghrib and Isha prayer. That a person should be engaged with Salat and with Al-Dhikr, yani Bil-Lisan. And we have preceded, yani somewhere else in the book when he's explaining the 50 hadith, it has preceded the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, أنه نزل في ذلك قوله تعالى تتجافى جنوبهم عن المضاجع. To the end of the ayat, Surah Al-Sajdah, 32nd ayat, 32nd surah, 16th ayat. He said it has preceded in a hadith from Anas ibn Malik that this ayat in Surah Al-Sajdah was revealed in reference to yani being engaged in the remembrance of Allah, as-salat and dhikr, at this time between the Maghrib and Isha prayer. And other scholars differed with that this actually is in reference to the night prayer, Qiyam. But in any case, he's mentioning here that was a view that was conveyed from Anas ibn Malik, yani that this ayat, that they leave their beds, yani to engage in calling upon their Rabb out of fear and hope, yani, and seeking that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the provisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they spend from the provisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the point here is that this ayah is talking about people who are giving up their sleep in order to remember Allah, to pray, to perform prayer, and to engage in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is reported that Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he said that we mentioned it previously, that he said that نَزَلَتْ فِينَا مَعَشِرُ الْأَنصَارِ كُنَّا نُصَلِّي الْمَغْرِبِ فَلَا نَرْجِ إِلَى رِحَالُنَا حَتَّى نُصَلِّيَ الْإِشَاءَ مَعَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Yani that it was revealed that this ayah in Surah Al-Sajd, it was revealed in reference to us, yani the Ansar, that we used to pray the Maghrib and then we wouldn't return to our homes until we prayed Isha with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So they used to stay in the masjid and they used to be engaged in the remembrance of Allah, whether by Salah or Dhikr bil Lisan. The next point that the Shaykh makes is delaying the Isha prayer. Delaying the Isha prayer. To what time? To 1/3 of the night. He says, it is also mustahab ta'akhir al-Isha ila thuluth al-layl. That this is something praiseworthy, it's commendable. That the Isha prayer, yani with the yani agreement of the people. Because the Imam should not make the prayer late, so late that it becomes a hardship on the people. But if the people agree to it, then this is something mustahab, to delay the Isha prayer to 1/3 of the night. As it happened in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they waited so long for him to come that some of the people started falling asleep. And he told them, yani, in summary, that this is the time for this prayer. And that nobody else in the earth is awake now, yani, waiting to perform this prayer. This is the time for this prayer. Yani 1/3, yani at 1/3 of the night. The Shaykh, he says here, it is mustahab to delay the Isha prayer to 1/3 of the night, as has been indicated in Al-Hadith As-Sahihah, in the authentic narrations, and this is the madhab of Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah, and others. The purpose of this, he said, حَتَّى يَفْعَلَ هَذِهِ الصَّلَاةِ فِي أَفْضَلْ وَقْتِهَا وَهُوَ آخِرُهُ. Yani, and this is a fiqh issue also, yani, but we don't have time, but just like passing, he said, pray it into the, delay it to 1/3 of the night, so that this prayer will be performed in its best time. And he said, its best time is the end of its time. Yani the end, meaning the end of the time of the Salatul Isha is 1/3 of the night. That's what he's saying here. Yani delay it to 1/3 of the night, because this is the end of the time of Isha, and it is the best time to perform the Isha. So if a person, yani, cannot come to the masjid to pray in Jama'ah, like the women, and people who can't come to the masjid, like the women, then they can delay until 1/3 of the night. And that's the best time to perform this prayer. As far as the men have to pray in the masjid, so we don't have control over that. And Allahu A'lam, even the Imam doesn't have control over that, right? Because he has to consider the people. And it is from the Sunnah that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to perform the Isha prayer in the early part of his time if the people had gathered. And if the people had not gathered, he would wait until the people gathered to hope to get to the later part of that time. But he considered the people. He wasn't a dictator, even though he had the power to make that final decision. The next point that the Shaykh makes is from the muaqqata, yani the adhkar that has a specific time. Yani the time of going to sleep or waking up, whether in the morning or in the middle of the night. And also included in that is the adhkar al-sabah wal-masa. He says, if a person performs the Isha prayer, and then after that they performed what's connected to it, yani as sunan al-ratiba, yani the sunnahs that's connected to the obligatory prayer that we mentioned already. Or if he also prayed the witr prayer after that, if he wanted to pray the witr prayer before sleeping, which is permissible, that the witr prayer can be prayed before sleeping, especially for the person who doesn't expect that they're going to wake up in the night. And from amongst them was Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He said that my friend Khalil radiallahu anhu, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he advised me with three things, and from amongst them he said, to perform the witr prayer before going to sleep. That's for the person who doesn't expect to wake up, then better to pray before sleeping than not to pray it at all. Imam Ahmed said, the person who doesn't pray the witr prayer, we don't accept his testimony. He is a person of evil. Shaykh says here that if a person prayed the Isha prayer, and they prayed the Sunnah prayer that's connected to it, or even the witr prayer, they wanted to pray the witr prayer before sleeping. So if they went to their bed to sleep, after that, he said it's mustahab for that person that they should not sleep except in a state of tahara and with the dhikr of Allah. Yani that before a person sleeps, when they finish their prayers and everything and they're ready to go to sleep, then they should make sure they're in a state of tahara, perform wudu, and or whatever is necessary, and that they should engage in the dhikr of Allah. These are the adhkar and naum. Yani the adhkar that should be said when a person is going to sleep, and they are many. The Shaykh says, so, he says, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, until he completes 100. And he, like a person does after the obligatory prayers. Just as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam allama Fatima wa Ali radiallahu anhuma an yaf'alahu inda manamihima. Just as the Prophet taught Fatima, his daughter, may Allah be pleased with her, and Ali radiallahu anhu to do when they were ready to go to bed, that they should say these words, yani the tasbih, takbir, tahmid, 100 times. So he does this according to whatever he has the ability, and he recites the adhkar that have been narrated from the Prophet ﷺ for the time of sleeping, as much as he's able to do. And there are many. And there are many. And from the most important of them, after what he mentioned here, is Ayatul Kursi. And the last three surahs of the Quran, the Prophet ﷺ used to recite them, and he used to blow in his hand and wipe over his body. And all of this is from the adhkar of going to sleep. وَهِيَ أَنْوَى مُتَعَدِّدَةً مِنْ تِلَاوَةُ الْقُرْآنِ وَذِكْرِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ يَنَامَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. And these adhkar at the time of sleeping, there are many, including reciting the Quran, including the dhikr of Allah, and then a person goes to sleep on that. We already finished our time? No? Allahu Akbar. Tayyib, let's do it. After this, the Shaykh mentions what? Yani from amongst those adhkar that are connected to a particular time is the time of awakening. Whether a person awakes in the middle of the night or any time of the night, last night of the night, or at the time of Fajr. He says if a person wakes up from the night, even if they're just turning over in their bed, then they must remember Allah. Every time they turn over, they should remember Allah. And they should say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. Some words of praise of Allah. It has been reported in the Sahih of Al-Bukhari, from Ibadah ibn Samit, an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiallahu anhu, that he said, whoever wakes in the night and says, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahu mulk wa lahu alhamdu, huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Whoever woke up, turned over in the night, got up, and he awakened during the night and said these words. And these words are in some of the books of Adhkar, like this book here. In this reported in Al-Bukhari, he said, whoever said those words, and then that person said, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي. Oh Allah, forgive me. Or, the narrator said, or, then he supplicated. After saying those words, then Allah will answer his supplication. And if he had firm resolve, yani to worship, and he performed wudu, and then he performed salat, his salat would be accepted. And if a person wants their salat to be accepted, get up in the night, say these words, make wudu, perform that salat sincerely for the sake of Allah, in accordance with the sunnah, and it's guaranteed, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, to be accepted. It has been narrated, then he narrated some hadith that's reported in At-Tirmidhi from Abu Umama, radiallahu anhu, from the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, whoever goes to his bed, and he's in a state of tahara, and he remembers Allah, dhikr Allah, until sleep or slumber overtakes him, then he would not pass any hour of the night in which he asked Allah for anything from the good of this world or the hereafter, except he would be given it. Except that he would be given it. Person who goes to his bed in a state of tahara, purifies himself, may wudu, and remembers Allah with some of these adhkar, until he falls asleep, upon remembering Allah, he falls asleep remembering Allah, then he, no night, no hour, period of the night will pass in which he would ask Allah, يَنِ يَسْأَلَ اللَّهَ فِيهَا شَيْئًا مِنْ خَيْرَيْ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ illa atahu iyyahu, except Allah would give him whatever he asks for, from the things of this world or of the next life. It has also been narrated in Abu Dawud, a hadith with a similar meaning from Mu'adh, also narrated by An-Nasa'i from Amr ibn Abasa, and also narrated by Imam Ahmed from Amr ibn Abasa, with this and a similar meaning of this hadith. Then, from this same topic, he says, the first thing that he said when he would wake up, he would say, Subhanaka, la ilaha illa anta, faghfir li. Yani, oh Allah, you are the one who is perfect. There is nothing that deserves worship except you, so forgive me. No person that would be the first thing that they would say when they woke up, except that their sins would be removed from them the same way that a snake, when it sheds its skin, yani, is removed from it completely. It has also been confirmed that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when he woke up from his sleep, he would say, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyani ba'dama amatani wa ilayhi nushur. Yani, praise be to Allah who has given me life after he caused me to die, yani sleep. And to him is the gathering, yani yawmul qiyamah. Yani, just like a person goes to sleep, and sleep is the sister of death, and they wake up, the same way we're going to die and we're going to be resurrected. And this sleeping and awakening is a reminder, and the Prophet used to say these words as a reminder of that. Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana, who gave us life after he caused us to death, he means he awakened us after we were sleeping to remind us that we're going to actually die one day and we're going to be resurrected. If a person did so, and then he got up and performed wudu and performed tahajjud, and then he came, and he mentioned those things that are narrated from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ when a person awakens in the night, yani that this is also something that is good that a person should do, yani to get up and make wudu and perform tahajjud. Then he says, as another point, yani he says, and this is a very important point, easy one for us to do, وَيَخْتِمُ تَحَجُّدَهُ بِالْإِسْتِغْفَارِ فِي السَّهْرِ. As, yani the person who performs the tahajjud, if they wake up in the night, tahajjud, then they should finish it with al-istighfar in the, yani, early morning hours before Fajr. As this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised, yani, in the Quran, the people who are engaging in istighfar in the early morning hours before the Fajr. He said, if the Fajr prayer comes, and a person performs Raqatay al-Fajr, yani meaning the two Sunnah Raqah al-Fajr, and then they perform the Fajr, and then they occupied themselves after the Salatul Fajr with the dhikr that has been narrated from the Prophet ﷺ until the sun rises, yani as we mentioned previously, then this is also yani mustahab. And here I just want to mention that the Prophet ﷺ said, Raqatay al-Fajr khayrun min ad-dunya wa ma fiha. That these two sunnah rakah, not the Fajr prayer. Fajr prayer is greater than that. The two sunnah rakah of Fajr is khayrun min ad-dunya wa ma fiha. It's better than the world and everything that's in it. And this is a reminder to us, not just the importance of performing the two rakah sunnah of Fajr, but performing them well. Yani a person shouldn't hasten through those two rakah. If they are better than the dunya and everything is in it, it means that this is an important prayer. A person needs to take their time and perform it well. This is an important prayer. Yani the ruku should be done well. The sujood should be done well. The dhikr of Allah should be done with consciousness. Because this is a very, very important prayer. Two rakah sunnah of Fajr. Then the Shaykh, he says, and we're nearing the end here, at the end of our time. He says that whoever, this was their condition, yani like what we have described up until now, then this is the person who his tongue is constantly engaged, is moist with the remembrance of Allah. Person who has done these things. And then he mentions that a person should accompany their awakening with the remembrance of Allah, such that they stay in the remembrance of Allah until they go to sleep. Meaning from the time a person wakes up until they go to sleep. And then they begin again with the remembrance of Allah when they wake up again. Yani a person goes to sleep remembering Allah, and the first thing they do when they wake up is remembrance of Allah. And then they remember Allah throughout the day. If they wake up in the night before Fajr, they pray some Raka al-Fajr, Salatul Witr or Tahajjud or both of them. And then they pray the Sunnahs of Fajr. And then they pray the Fajr. And then they engage in remembrance of Allah until sunrise if they're able to. And then they pray Salatul Duha. And then they pray Salatul Dhuha with the sunnahs before and after. And then on like that. And with all that he has mentioned here. And then he says, and this, the person who's constantly engaged in remembrance of Allah all day, from the beginning of the day until the end of it, is an indication of Sidq al-Mahabba, of the sincerity and the truthfulness of their love of Allah. And it is as the poet said, and I don't want to read this poetry, I don't like to read poetry, but yani the meaning of it is, yani the last thing before I go to sleep is I remembering you. That's what the person is saying about the person they love. This is a poet talking about love. And the first thing is you at the time when I wake up. Yani a person, the last thing they think about before they go to sleep is who they love, other than Allah. Yani love, yani this worldly stuff. And the first thing that came to mind is you. That's what he's saying to his beloved. Last thing before I go to sleep is you. And the first thing is you. So what about the Muslim in their love of Allah? And the last thing we do before sleeping is remembrance of Allah. And the first thing we do when we wake up is remembrance of Allah. And the sixth main area of remembrance of Allah, and this is the end of what the Shaykh said. I'm going to go through this quickly and we're going to finish with this. He says, وَأَمَّا مَا يَفَعَلُهُ الْإِنسَانِ فِي آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ وَأَطْرَافَ النَّهَارِ من مصالح دينه وبدنه ودنياه. And in some of the narrations, doesn't have بدنه. In any case, I don't know which one is correct. He said, as far as that which the person does during the hours of the night and at the two ends of the day, meaning throughout the day and night, in terms of those things that they're doing, yani that are in the interest of their deen and the interest of their dunya. Whatever a person is doing during the day and the night, going to work, going to school, shopping, whatever, I don't know, whatever a person is doing. All those things that a person does in the day and the night, he says, فَعَامَةُ ذَلِكَ يُشْرَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. Yani that these things in general, there's something legislated for the remembrance of Allah for every occasion, every action, everything that a person is engaged in during the day and the night. There's something legislated for the remembrance of Allah. So it has been legislated to remember Allah and to praise Him. When a person eats, when a person drinks, when a person is getting dressed or undressed, and when they're having marital relations with their spouse. It is legislated that a person remember Allah at the time when entering their house and exiting from their house, and entering the bathroom and exiting from the bathroom, and getting on their riding animal, or their car, or their bicycle, or whatever, airplane, or boat, or ship, or whatever. It is legislated, the remembrance of Allah, yani to mention the name of Allah, he said. When a person slaughters the animal, whether in the manasik of Hajj or other than that. It is legislated to praise Allah at the time when a person sneezes. And at the time of seeing Ahlul Bala fi Deen wa Dunya, yani the people who have been afflicted with some kind of calamity, whether it's a physical calamity, worldly matter, or in their deen, that a person should praise Allah. And all of these, yani things that you're referring to here, I think all of them are contained in this book. Hisni Muslim. I think all of them are contained in there. He said, also, at the time when brothers meet one another, and they ask one another, what is their condition? Kaif haluk? And your person should say, what? Alhamdulillah. And whatever it is, doesn't matter, it's still Alhamdulillah. He said, also, at the time when the good things, the ni'mah of Allah, recur, yani repeat it, happen again and again, or at the time of repulsing the things that a person dislikes. Yani that, yani affliction or calamity that has befallen them. And the most perfect of all of this is that a person remembers Allah when they are in prosperity and in difficult, in not in prosperity. What do you call that? Adversity? Maybe, I don't know. وَشِدَّ وَرَخَاءَ yani difficulty and ease. Yani in any case, the point is what? When a person, things are going well or not going well, it's legislated that a person always praise Allah in every situation or circumstance. It's also legislated that a person supplicate to Allah at the time of entering the marketplace and at the time of hearing the voice of the rooster in the night and at the time of hearing thunder, at the time of the rain descending, at the time of the strong winds, at the time of seeing the hilal, the new moon, at the time of the first harvest of the first fruits. It's legislated also that a person remember Allah and supplicate to Allah at the time of when some calamity or difficulty befalls them, or some calamity befalls them. And at the time when they're going out on a journey. And at the time when they're stopping over someplace during the journey. And at the time when they're returning from the journey. And it's also legislated to seek refuge in Allah at the time when a person became angry. And at the time when they see something that they dislike in their sleep. And a person has a bad dream. Something bad. That they seek refuge in Allah. And that they don't tell it to anybody if it's something bad. And also at the time of hearing the barking of the dogs or the braying of the donkeys during the night. It's legislated also to mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's legislated, the Shaykh says finally in closing, it's legislated to perform istikhara. When a person is thinking about doing something, the good of it is not clear. As far as that which is clearly good, like you don't have to make istikhara, should I pray Salatul Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, or fast in Ramadan. It's no question about it. It's about the thing which is not clear. Is it going to be good for you or not? He said it's legislated to perform istikhara. And he said it's obligatory to perform a tawbah and istighfar from all sins, the greater ones and the lesser ones. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. Yani those who, when they have done some act of indecency or evil, or they have done wrong to their own selves, then they remember Allah and they seek forgiveness of their sins. And the Shaykh says, and this is the end of it, he says, so whoever guards and protects and preserves that which has been mentioned, then this person's tongue is moist with the remembrance of Allah in every situation and circumstance. And these are the things that Al-Imam Ibn Rajab rahimahullah has mentioned from what Allah has legislated. And like I said, there are some subsidiary points, but the main points are six. Three of them are salat, and three of them are adhkar bil lisan. And if a person remembers them and tries to engage in them, I hope inshallah that Allah will grant success to us. May Allah grant us success in engaging constantly in remembrance of Allah, especially because this remembrance of Allah is the thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, that it is khair wa aqrab ila Allah. It is the best thing that you could do, and the nearest to Allah, that a person die while their tongue is moist with the remembrance of Allah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.